Councilman Shirley is joining us by phone, and we're going to ask him to give the indication.
Thank you, Mayor. Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you bestowed on our community. We pray for your guidance, that our decisions will be for the good of our community. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
To begin with tonight, we have Team Court, and I'm going to ask Francis McCoy and Harry Costanova to come up, please, and introduce the kids or the students.
Thank you. My pleasure. I'm the coordinator for Team Court. Can you speak in the mic? Can you guys hear me? I'm coordinator for Team Court. It's my privilege and honor to work with these students. Tonight, they were officially sworn in as attorneys, and so we want to recognize them tonight. I'm not sure who stayed and who didn't, so I'm just going to ask you to step up when I call your name, okay? So, Brooklyn Bowen. She's a senior attorney. Come on up. Just a very quick word. Our senior attorneys are the ones that mentor and train our younger ones, and so they are held to a little bit of a higher standard. We're super proud of them. Brandon Carrasco, senior attorney. Senior Attorney Kayla McCarty.
Yeah.
Did Ali stay?
You look like a lot.
Senior Attorney Ali Martinez, did she stay? She left. I'm pretty sure she left. So Ali's getting ready for BPA Leadership Camp, so we'll excuse her for sure. So our attorneys for Team Court are Brooklyn Calder. Aubrey Fernandez, Leilani Lona, Mackenzie McAvoy, Taylor Ansuras, Jasmine Rubio, Trinity Throckmorton, and did our birthday girl stay? Oh, right in front of me, okay. So our very first Team Court bearer, Janelle Thompson. And finally, I'm pleased to present to our apprentices, and they are training to be an attorney. They're not far. They're awesome as well. Erin Hamby. Leah Horton. Maddie Kemp. Right in front of me. I can't see people right in front. Justin Maxwell. Emma Wagoner. Can I see Emma Wagoner? So, congratulations to all of our senior attorneys, and apprentices of Team Court of Eddy County. Good job, guys.
It's a terrible thing.
Thank you.
Well, congratulations to all of you, and we really, to Francis, and we appreciate all the work that you and your staff do. We really appreciate it. And what a great group. That brings us to number one on the agenda, is the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
We have a motion.
Second.
A second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Number two, consider approval of resolution number 2019-55, a resolution making certain budgetary adjustments to the 2019-20 fiscal year budget. Ms. Gonzalez.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. I'll be going over second quarter budget adjustments. Beginning in the general fund, we're requesting to transfer out $500,000 to our capital projects fund with the expenditure of $2.5 million for the Church Street repave project. Also in the Capital Projects Fund, we are requesting $18,000 for the design for the renovation of Fire Station Number 4 into a police substation. In the General Fund, the Fire Department is requesting increase the revenue $133,909.33 for an AFG grant to install an exhaust extraction system, along with the corresponding expenditure of $147,300.27, which includes a 10% city match. The Fire Department is also requesting $125,000 to purchase a second set of bunker gear per NFPA recommendation. The Streets Department is requesting $17,000 for a fence around the drainage pond at Farm View Number 6. Transit Department is requesting $50,000 to increase in operations for unanticipated vehicle maintenance expenditures. In the Largest Tax Promotional Fund, we're requesting a revenue increase of $176,000 to projected actuals. Metal Shop Live is requesting $125,000 for advertising at the Walter Jarrell's Performing Arts Center. In the Largest Tax Non-Promotional Fund, we are requesting an increase to revenues of $360,000 to projected actuals, and we have an internal request for $900,000 for continued rehabilitation to the Cabin Theater. Are there any questions?
Question from Mr. Gonzalez.
Mayor, these projects were all presented to the budget committee, and I would move for approval.
We have a motion to approve. And a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez. Number three, City of Carlsbad Financial, September 2019. Ms. Austin.
Good evening, Mayor Council. Thank you for being here this evening. Before I give you a quick overview of the financials, I would like to hopefully note that you've reviewed the financials and you've noted that we've made some improvements to the transparency in some of the presentation of the financials. We will continue to do this as we work through Munis and get more comfortable with the software and the programs and what it has to offer. In addition, what we as the finance department are working on right now is sort of a one-pager or a KPI page where you can see a lot of information, good information on one page, like where we're at currently versus budget, with a forecast, maybe an update on some of our bigger projects. But anyways, just a good snapshot in the one page that we'll start including in our financials in the near future. But beyond that, I'll give you a quick overview. Okay. Apologize for all of the financials this time. Okay, our revenues, and these are financials through September 2019, which is the first quarter of the fiscal year. Our revenues of $32.3 million are favorable $2.8 million to the $29.4 million budget, and this is approximately 3% above the target. Of this favorable variance, actually, over $5 million is contributed to the increase in trend in gross receipts tax revenue. The city's labor expenditures of $12.6 million are $1.1 million favorable to the $13.7 million budget and are 2% below target. By the end of the fiscal year, I would forecast approximately a $4 million cost savings in labor this year. A big part of this is related to insurance, health insurance. Of the city's operating costs of $9.5 million, we were favorable $3.6 million to the $13 million budget, and this puts us 3% below target. The city's capital expenditures of $10.2 million are $2.4 million favorable to the $12.5 million budget and 5% below target. This will include my summary unless there are any questions.
Question for Ms. Austin? Thank you, Ms. Austin.
Thank you.
That moves us to number four, routine and regular business. All matters under this heading are considered routine by the City Council and will be acted upon in one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items. If discussion is desired on a particular item, upon request, that item may be removed from the routine and regular business and be considered separately. And I would like to ask Ken Britt to discuss briefly D2 and Mr. Hernandez to briefly discuss D3.
Mayor, members of the council, the process to get a government liquor license for the city of Carlsbad is the first step is to go out for an RFP for a leasing operator, which would be the person that we would negotiate a contract with to manage and operate the sales of liquor at the Carlsbad golf course. So this request is to go out for that RFP and see what we get and then make a decision and come back to you for that. And then, of course, successfully negotiate a contract, which would involve monies coming back to the city and someone who would manage that for the city.
Question for Mr. Britt? Thank you, Mr. Britt.
Thank you.
Mr. Hernandez.
Yes, Mayor, members of the council, several months ago, the city put out an RFP for lobbyist services for Santa Fe during the session and other times as needed. We did have two RFPs submitted at that time. This has been several months ago. Since that time, the city has come to an agreement with the Eddy County and the city of Artesia to share a common government affairs lobbyist position to represent the city and Eddy County in Santa Fe during the session and other times. So that being said, we're bringing this today to approve the rejection of these bids since we're going another route. And I'd stand for any questions if there are any.
Question for Mr. Hernandez. Thank you, Mr. Hernandez.
Could I ask my we're not going to go out for bid for this, right? We have another direction.
Right, that's correct. Right. We did go out for bid. We actually published it in the paper, went out for bid, received two RFPs,
right,
and then decided to go another route. That's a joint partnership with Eddy County and the city of Artesia for a government affairs / lobbyist effort in Santa Fe for the next session and other items as needed.
The city of Artesia, or is individually with Eddy County?
So it's a three-way partnership. Eddy County is the main, and then the city of Carlsbad and city of Artesia.
Okay.
Right. Further questions?
Mayor, I'd move for approval.
We have a motion to approve.
We don't need
it. And a second.
Who was the first? I'm sorry. Eddie.
And Leo.
Okay.
No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
All items under routine and regular business have passed. Number five, consider approval of request from Julio Leja and Cal Shade Western to serve alcohol, beer, and liquor during the first annual taco truck battle for cancer at the Beach Bench Hill. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is a request by Julio Leja and Cal Shade Western to serve alcohol, beer, and liquor during the first annual taco truck battle for cancer. This event will be held at the Beach Band Shell on November 16th, 2019. The event is scheduled to last from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. As part of the event, the coordinators wish to have alcohol service, beer and liquor from 12:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Cal Shade Western is the vendor that they've contracted with to provide a beer garden location. The beer garden will be cordoned off from the rest of the festival and will have one controlled entrance for festival goers. Entrance to the beer garden will only be available to those 21 years or older, and entrance must produce a valid ID as proof of age. All approved entrants will be given a bracelet to wear, and this bracelet will be a requirement to purchase beer or wine within the beer garden. The event will also provide its own security for the event and for the beer garden. If it's the will of the council, city staff recommends approval of the request with the following conditions: that the alcohol server obtain all required licenses and permits, representatives of the taco truck battle, the event coordinators and the alcohol server comply with all rules, regulations, requirements, and restrictions for service at the location, including but not limited to fencing of the area, carding of customers, and providing appropriate security. And both the event coordinator and the alcohol server shall name the city of Carlsbad as an additional insured on their general liability insurance and liquor server insurance in an amount to be approved by the city administrator.
Questions for Mr. Patterson?
I do.
Councilor.
Mayor, in the initial description it says beer and liquor, but in the body it says beer and wine. Traditionally, we've been approached and approved beer and wine. This is the first time I ever remember having beer and liquor. Which will this be, the liquor or the wine?
I'm looking through the application. I don't think that the applicant states. So I would, if they're here tonight, I would ask them. Now, I can say that the city council has allowed the sale of liquor for Cavern Fest before. And that, of course, takes place on city streets there in the downtown area. I'm not sure that we've ever allowed it at a city park facility. But, yeah, I would ask the vendor to specify exactly what they're going to sell.
Do we have a representative here tonight? We do. Would you come forward, please? Would you state your name for the record?
Julio Leja.
And are you talking about beer and wine or beer and liquor?
Beer and liquor.
Yep. Beer and liquor. Okay. Questions from the council for Mr. Leja?
Why liquor and not wine?
I don't know. I mean, it's just a preference for the crowd. I didn't think they'd want wine, but I think liquor would be to their.
My main concern is the amount of liquor required to become inebriated versus a beer or wine. I believe one is much less than the other.
Okay.
That would be a concern in my mind.
I guess it would be up to the server, and I guess they, as professionals that they do it and have the business, they would know how much to give somebody, how much to sell somebody, and I would think that they would do the right thing like they do everywhere else in town. So,
further questions? Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mayor, I'd make a motion to approve it.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
You're approved. Number six, consider approval of temporary use application to allow temporary housing as a temporary use at 5302 National Parks Highway, Zone C2 Commercial District and I Industrial District. Applicant owner, Dreamland Park, LLC. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this item is a request to allow temporary housing as temporary use at 5302 National Parks Highway. The property is zoned C2, Commercial 2 District, and I Industrial District. The subject property is approximately 5 acres in size, so it meets the minimum acreage requirement and the zoning requirement in Section 5680 of the zoning ordinance. The applicant is asking for approval for 94 spaces and has provided a site plan which has been reviewed by the planning department and other departments. They still need to provide a general electrical plan to the city's electrical inspector. They brought their request before the Planning and Zoning Commission at the November 4th, 2019 meeting, and the commission considered the item and voted four in favor, none against, to recommend approval to the City Council.
Question for Mr. Patterson.
Mayor, I have a question.
Councilman?
Mr. Patterson, it states that once we connect water and sewer that far, that they want to connect to the city. Is that correct? It says in his comments.
I can tell you for the subject property, there's no sewer in the area. There is water, so they are going to have to provide us with an approved sanitation permit from the NMED, showing us how they're going to take care of their liquid waste. I think if sewer is provided to the area, our requirement would be that they connect at that point.
Would our system take 95 RV parks? Would it hurt our residential, possibly,
or not? I think our system is capable. You're talking about with the treatment plant? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the treatment plant is capable of taking 94 additional RV spaces. They normally have a smaller load flow than a residence, and I don't think that we're near capacity there, so I would think so.
Thanks.
Mayor, if I could add.
Councilman?
If you read the paper on Sunday, New Mexico Department of Environmental Department had a real issue with the sewage, like JJ was talking about.
Right.
We're not going to experience any issues here, right? That's
our regulation of what it requires protects us from that. I think once we started looking at some of the locations that they pointed out in the article, we learned that those locations weren't in the city limits and weren't subject to our process. I'm pretty confident that our process, you know, handles the liquid waste properly. If they can't connect directly to sewer, they have to apply to NMED and provide a plan that shows they're either going to pump it, keep it in above-ground tanks or something, pump it, and remove it on a regular basis.
Even though it stated it in the paper, they were all outside the city limits. So, Mr. Hernandez, did you want to comment?
You know, I do. Mayor, we did receive some correspondence from NMED and a map, and we basically took that map. There's a lot just on the outskirts of the city limits that are just really, really close. But the ones in town, I think there's a couple out on the Hobbs Highway and maybe one out on Standpipe, and to my knowledge, they are all in compliance and have approved discharge permits.
No. Further questions for Mr. Patterson? Thank you, Mr. Patterson.
I'll make a motion for approval, Mayor.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Number seven, consider approval of temporary use application to allow temporary housing as a temporary use at 3221 National Parks Highway, Zone C2, Commercial 2 District, applicant Mega Power Electric, Shane Carpenter. And again, Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this item is a request to allow temporary housing as a temporary use at 3221 National Parks Highway. Subject property is zoned C2 Commercial 2 District, which is in accordance with our regulation and the zoning ordinance for these parks. One stipulation that the planning department had recommended for this property was the combination of all the parcels at the subject site into one property. If they do so, it will be approximately 2.45 acres, which meets the minimum requirements in the ordinance for temporary RV parks. The applicant has provided a site plan and is still working with the planning department on getting the proper site plan in place. The applicant brought this request to the Planning and Zoning Commission at the October 7th, 2019 commission meeting. The commission considered this item and voted 4 in favor, none against, and 1 absent to recommend approval of 5 new temporary RV spaces at the subject site.
Question for Mr. Patterson, Councilman.
Mr. Patterson, I'm not sure if I missed it, but was the property replatted or not replatted?
To my knowledge, I don't think it's been replatted yet. I know that the applicant is here. He did have a document with him. I don't know if that's the replat. I don't think that it's been replatted, has it?
At this point, it's still under the minimum allowable acreage.
Technically, without the replat, it would be both parcels separately don't equal the two acre requirement.
So could we make it conditional on getting the replat approved?
That would be my recommendation.
And have we reviewed this particular one?
Mm-hmm. It's come before council before, but there was some discrepancy, or there was not a satisfactory decision made by the Planning and Zoning Commission on the item, and so it was remanded back.
2018 or just
it was this year. It was a few months ago, I think.
I remember that. We had discussed this morning maybe that it happened in 2018. Mm-hmm. Too. We couldn't remember that, so
they ran together for me too.
All my days will happen.
Further questions for Mr. Patterson? Thank you, Mr. Patterson.
Mayor, I would move for tentative approval pending the replat. And wording from our planning department, should that replat not occur, what recourse the city would have to rescind that decision, that approval? Would that be possible?
Ms. Boya?
Are you asking me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yes, I believe that is possible for you to word your motion that way and for the council to vote on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just contingent on it being replatted to fall within. I'd hate to violate a policy and ordinance that we just put in place. With that, I make the motion.
We have a motion.
I'll second.
A second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Number 8, consider approval of temporary use application to allow temporary housing as a temporary use at 1902 Coyote Court, zoned RR Rural Residential District applicant, Melinda Hansen. Again, Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this request is to allow temporary housing as a temporary use at a portion of 1902 Coyote Court, zone rural residential district. This is located out on the Hobbs Highway. The piece of property that they are proposing currently is 4.45 acres in size, so it meets our size requirement. It also meets the zoning requirement, being zone rural residential. Their site plan indicates 5 RV spaces are being proposed, and they'll be served by on-site septic. LMC Services. The RVs will utilize the solid waste containers on site. They have yet to provide an electrical plan for the park. Therefore, the planning department would recommend that be a condition of approval, which is normal for a lot of these RV parks that go in, that they need to provide an electrical plan to our electrical inspector. They presented this item at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting held on October 7, 2019, and that commission considered the application and voted 4 in favor, 9 against, and 1 absent to recommend approval to the council.
Question for Mr. Patterson.
Got a question, Mayor.
Councilman.
Does our water go that far out? Or?
There is water service out there. I think it might be minimal as far as pressure and flow, but there is water service currently to the subject property.
Thank you.
Councilman?
This shows a water hydrant there. Is that a fire hydrant or water hydrant? On Coyote Court?
That would be something I would have to ask.
Or something they plan to put in.
I believe that they may have a private fire system in that property. I would have to ask Mr. Myers. Is that right? Do you know on that one, Mr. Myers? If it's a private fire hydrant, it's a private fire system.
Further questions for Mr. Patterson? Thank you, Mr. Patterson.
Recommend approval.
We have a motion to approve.
I'll second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Number 9, consider approval of the appeal of the decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission to deny a variance to reduce the required side setback from 5 foot to 0 for placement of an open-sided metal carport located at 506 North Olive, zoned R1 Residential 1, District Applicant Stacy Slade. And again, Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is an appeal of the decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission to deny a variance to place a carport in the required side setback for a property zoned R1 Residential 1 District. Mr. Slade, the appellant, made his request to the Planning and Zoning Commission at the October 7th, 2019 meeting, stating that he wanted to place a carport in the front of his property and in the side to the south side of his house, which would place it, you know, in the required side setback. Planning and Zoning Commission voted to deny his request with a vote of 4 in favor of denial, 1 opposed, and 1 absent. The appellant submitted a letter to my office stating that he wished to appeal the decision. In his letter, he made a listing of other properties where he sees carports placed in the side setback. And as far as access to the property, he states that he has a gate to the east of his property off the alley that would provide access to the rear of the property in emergency situations, and asked that council consider his appeal and overturn the decision. After reviewing the appellant's letter and pictures and reviewing the initial information provided to the Planning and Zoning Commission at the October 7th, 2019 meeting, planning staff recommends that the decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission be upheld and the appeal denied.
Question for Mr. Patterson.
Dale, I'd like to ask.
Councilman?
Jeff, a question.
Councilman?
Dale, what are we going to do about all these other people? That's what the guy submitted, mm-hmm. These other pictures, and they're an obvious violation.
We will take the evidence submitted by Mr. Slade, give it to code enforcement in the building department, sure, to start looking into these properties to see, number one, did they pull a permit to have this place? Was it in place before our current rules were in place? And we'll try to track down, you know, if we have violators, then we will follow our process and make them either, you know, seek a variance like Mr. Slade has done, or if we have to, we'll either, you know, maybe take them to court if it gets that far, or have them remove the structure in total.
Sounds fair. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Further questions for Mr. Patterson? Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Is Mr. Slade here? Would you like to make a comment? Would you state your name for the record, please?
Slade. I'd like to say hello to everyone, first of all. One of these places I showed had, in the process of me waiting until we get up here, they had theirs put up. So that's why I'm trying to figure out what's the difference from them having one and myself. And the first they told me it was just because they couldn't have access to my backyard if there was an emergency. But some of these people don't even have alleys, you know, and they still were able to put it up. And like I told them last time, we have a couple of vehicles that's pretty expensive, and we'd like to protect them, you know. That's the investment since our home. So I just wanted to see what the difference was in the cases of some of these have long mobile homes and fifth wheels and everything else in theirs. And there's not an issue, apparently. Just wanted to know what the difference was. And
question from the council for Mr. Slade.
You said you have access, a rear access?
Yes, ma'am, on the alley.
In case of an emergency?
Right. And I was told to, you know, follow all the proper steps, so I sent out all the letters. I did everything that I was supposed to do. And, you know, everybody that I talked to about it, they told me just put it up, that there was nothing wrong with me just putting it up. And I said, no, I want to follow the rules and go through the steps. So that's what I did. And
further questions from the council? Thank you, Mr. Slade.
I recall it's been maybe 2 years, possibly three, we had a gentleman put up a structure.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew well that he was in violation, but he did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about, at that point, we were talking about coming up with an ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe we made him take it down. It's been a while.
Do you remember, Mr. Nunes?
It's been about 2 years.
Yeah.
Possibly. Two, maybe. Well, with Janelle, when Janelle was on council. I think it was like her last year.
Mr. Patterson, can you address that?
It was Mr. Hursty.
Are you speaking of the location on Solana Street? Right. That I think that property was the catalyst for us to amend the ordinance to allow people to place them in their front setback without a variance. But we held to keeping the side setback and the rear setback in place on carports. So that's where Mr. Slade has come into a problem with his request.
If there's access in case of an emergency, is that anything that we could consider?
Yes, I think it's appropriate. You know, normally these setbacks are designed to allow access all around the property. So it has been our the planning department's process or decision-making process to kind of keep those clear of any permanent structures. And these will be anchored to the ground. So I guess you could call them semi-permanent. Mm-hmm. But our recommendation had to do with input from emergency services. So, you know, that's why we recommended denial of it in the first place. perhaps asking one of our chiefs about the fact that there's access to the rear of the property in lieu of being able to get around that side of the house. In their opinion, how does that change it? How does it change their recommendation?
Can we ask Chief Lopez to come up and maybe give us some insight?
You want to ask the fire chief?
Yes.
Chief Lopez, you want to come up?
Thank you, Mayor. Members of the council, yes, it's case by case. But you have a very hard decision to make one case by case. Because it works today, but it doesn't work tomorrow. We don't win. So that's the first of all. So, yes, if we have access to the house, well, that makes it easier on us, definitely. What happens when we sell? What happens when they close it in? I don't know. I don't know where it ends. So, yes, if we have access, I'm happy. And the part that I struggle with is the ones that want to do it right and get told no, and the ones that don't care get away with everything. So that's the struggle right here. And do we have the manpower to rectify that? I don't know. So as far as the question is concerned, as long as I have access, I'm happy. It makes it safer for everybody. So yes.
Further questions for Chief Lopez? Further questions? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Mayor.
Mayor, I'm a little worried about having that conversation since we reviewed one on Sproul that had access to the backyard with a different street, much less an alley, that we denied for their side setback. There was access on James Street in between Margaret and James with the lady that we denied. If we make that the rule, then these people are going to come back and say, hey, you denied ours. Right. Fortunately for Mr. Slade, following the rules, we're going to have to do a better job. We're sending the wrong message to the public by not enforcing these side setbacks and people doing this stuff on the weekends and just letting them get away with it. Because I agree with Mr. Slade, for him to drive around and take pictures, I was shocked. I mean, you drive by it all the time, but until he put 10 different pictures from 10 different properties with side setback violations.
That's right.
I mean, they're all over the place. We need to do a better job, and I know manpower is an issue for us, but unfortunately for Mr. Slade, following the rules has been to his detriment. So that's sending the wrong message on our part. Don't follow the rules, and you're okay. But and I can appreciate you coming and try to follow the right channels and everything, but we've been denying these dang things for the last few weeks or months. At first, it was the front setbacks, and we redid our policy and implemented different things where people could build them in the front yard. Now, all of a sudden, everybody comes to us and says, well, building to the front of the house is great, but now we want to build it to the side, too. So where do you draw the line? And front setback's bad enough, but, you know, the emergency services people making a big deal about access to the backyard, I totally understand. And, man, I hate that you did follow the rules and you're in this position. We've denied several in the last couple of weeks, and if we go against that, it's going to be a problem.
Can I say something?
Yes, sir.
What would be the difference if I had a 6-foot gate that nobody could get in except the back door? What's the difference?
Get it.
Really, the whole issue here is safety. You know, it's the safety. And we need to concentrate on the safety of those that are in need of help in an emergency. And this is hard. But you're right. You know, if we approve one and then these others will come back, and you know, so it's difficult.
So is there a motion?
I make a motion to deny the appeal.
We have a motion to deny the appeal. And we have a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterside?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Unanimous. Mm-hmm. Number 10, consider approval of resolution 2019-56, a resolution requiring the removal of the building and debris at 910 Sandia, owner Jim Yeager. Ms. Madrid Boyer, please.
Mr. Mayor and members of the council, this involves property that has had issues dating back to 2017, is my understanding, which predates my time being with the city, but there's a long history of issues with this particular property. Code enforcement officers have been dealing with it for a long time, have devoted a lot of hours to this piece of property, and have really been very patient in trying to work with the owners of this property and with the people that we initially thought were the owners, and then it turned out they had deeded the property to another individual, and the individual who now appears to be the owner, Mr. Yeager, is no longer living on the premises, and as a matter of fact, he is not able to maintain the property at this time due to his current circumstances. So apparently this resolution involves removal of a structure as well as weed and debris and other issues on the premises itself. So all of the systems on this property, I believe, have been compromised due to neglect and a lack of any sort of maintenance over the past several years. We have updated photographs that you should each have at your position there that you can see as of today, the current condition of it. Now, these are all exterior pictures because we did not go inside as of today. But your packet contains interior pictures that also shows the issues with all the major systems, the plumbing, the electrical, the HVAC. So what's happened on this is that we have asked for approval to remove the structure and to clean it up. Some people on behalf of the property owners have approached us and have asked to contract with someone to remove the structure. However, we have shown them or directed them to what the procedure is, which is they need to have an affidavit signed by the owner of the property, which is Mr. Yeager, and we have yet to be presented with that affidavit, so we really can't deal with anybody other than the property owner without incurring liability on the city's part. So unless and until that happens, we're asking the council to proceed with the resolution as presented for the removal of the structure and the cleanup.
Questions for Ms. Boyer? I think we have a neighbor that wants to speak. Mr. Salinas? You state your name for the record, please.
Mr. Mario Salinas. I live at 908 Sandia, right next door. Bill Green over here with a cap, he lives right behind this property. And Ms. Madrid, it's been longer than 17. We've been putting up with this property for years. And dilatory tactics by the old owners, new owners, whomever. This property needs to be removed. But before, while you're talking to the owner, you might want to call animal control because there's a bunch of cats in there. There's a mama cat in there having litters. There's little cats all over the place. Now, those pictures look like they're self-explanatory, but they're not really. The floor, the wooden floors, and they're rotten. The roof leaks. They haven't had utilities for, as far as I can remember, 2.5-3 years. The gas, they never had gas. They turned it off, took the meter away. And this was before Yeager. And then they turned the water off and turned the power off because they didn't pay the bills. So for 18, 19 months, 20 months, they haven't had any utilities. And the house has just been vacant. But the house needs to be removed. And my wife and I are and Bill back here and his wife, we were elated when we found out that Ms. Devlin had written a report recommending demolition to the city council. So we would urge for you to approve this resolution and remove that building forthwith. That's what we would ask. Thank you. I know before I leave, the mayor went by my house the other day and I took him to the back and
I'm
saying
now.
His words were, oh my God, that should tell you something. Thank you, again.
Thank you, Mr. Salinas.
And Mr. Mayor, may I also add that I did check with the water department and the water has been terminated, water service has been terminated on the property since March of 2018, and the account will not be restored until such time as various sewer repairs are made to the property.
Mayor,
Councilman?
Is the owner here? Is the owner of the property here?
The owner is not able to be here.
I'm not able.
Because of circumstances.
Okay. All right. I recommend removal.
We have a motion to remove. In a second, if no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Salinas. Number 11, consider approval of Ordinance 2019-45, an ordinance repealing and replacement of Rogers Tax Ordinance, A, public hearing, and B, consider approval of Ordinance 2019-45. And we'll now convene as a public hearing, and again, Ms. Madrid Boyer.
Mr. Mayor and members of the City Council, the state of New Mexico enacted a statute many years ago, back in the 1950s, to address lodgers tax issues. Recently, there was an upgrade to the state statute that eliminated the provision of the state statute that exempted, unless you had three rooms or more, because previously you had to have three rooms or more in order for the tax to apply. It's a 5% tax. So all we're doing is making our ordinance in compliance with the state statute, or all we're proposing to do is to make it in compliance with the state statute and just cleaning up some of the language in our ordinance that was slightly variance from the state statute. Because right now with the advent of Airbnb, you know, where people can rent out even one room of their house, this is going to capture the taxes that could now be applied to any rental or a piece of property to anybody that where it's 30 days or less that they're staying on the property. If it's 30 days or more, it doesn't apply. That's the same before. We are proposing the change in the ordinance, and it's going to remain the same, and the amount is going to remain the same, which is the 5%. Everything is basically the same. The only other small additional change is that we are also in compliance with the state statute if we adopt this new ordinance by allowing revenue bonds to be approved if necessary.
Question from the council?
Oh, and it doesn't go into effect until January of 2020.
If no questions, do we have anyone that would like to speak for the ordinance? For the ordinance. If not, do we have anyone that would like to speak against the ordinance? Against the ordinance. If not, we'll now reconvene as a city council to consider approval of Ordinance 2019-45.
Make a motion for approval.
We have a motion to approve.
I second.
In a second, if no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Number 12, consider approval of Ordinance 2019-46, an ordinance rezoning part of C2 Commercial 2 District to R2 Residential 2 District from approximately 4.55 acre property located at 410 South 6th, applicant Carlsbad Municipal Schools. A, public hearing, and B, consider approval of ordinance 2019-46. And we'll now convene as a public hearing, and Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is a request to change the zoning on the subject property from C2 Commercial 2 District to R2 Residential 2 District. Property is located at 410 South 6th Street along Sandy Ridge Drive. The property is owned by Carlsbad Municipal Schools, and I believe it is their plan to place teacherages on the property. In order to do so, they need to change the zoning to residential. They chose Residential 2 District because it allows for a little more density. They'll be able to get more units on the property. As you know, the city is under a severe housing crunch, and one of the industries it affects, you know, greatly is teachers. Recruitment of teachers, retainment of teachers, providing affordable housing for people in the teaching profession. The school district is planning to alleviate some of that concern by placing these residential units on this property. The planning staff would recommend approval, as did the Planning and Zoning Commission at their October 7th, 2019 meeting, where they voted 3 in favor of approval, none against, and 1 abstain, to recommend approval to City Council for this request.
Question for Mr. Patterson. Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Is there anyone that would like to speak for the ordinance? For the ordinance. If not, do we have anyone that would like to speak against the ordinance? Against the ordinance. If not, we will now reconvene as the City Council to consider approval of Ordinance 2019-46. Councilman?
Mayor, I would recommend approval.
We have a motion to approve and a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters? Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
You're approved.
Yes.
Moves us to number 13, Council Committee Reports. Do we have any councilman that has a report they'd like to make? Councilman?
Mayor, yes. As some of us have seen in the paper and heard on the news, basically the Department of Transportation gave us $12.5 million for 285. I mean, that was pretty awesome and humble to see that it all came together from our Carlsbad delegation to the New Mexico delegation back to the Department of Transportation. And it was pretty neat to see it all come back together, not only to help 285, but to help the community as well.
Good. Thanks.
Mayor,
Councilman?
I'd like to ask Don Owen a question. That is Don.
Ask him what?
A question. He should have come up here earlier and he didn't. What took you guys so long? That's my only question. What took you so long for the t-shirts? This is, geez.
I'll answer that for you later.
Okay.
We changed superintendents.
Thank you, Coach. Anyone else? Any other council members? If not, do we have anyone in the audience that would like to address the council? If not, we'll now move to number 14, and I'd call on Lisa, Councilor Lisa Anaya Flores.
Mayor, I move that we adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
In a second, if no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters? Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Good job.
Thank you,
Jason.
All right.